Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 21, 2022, 1 John.
All right, one announcement before we get started. There will be a teachers' meeting tonight after class, big classroom. Teachers' meeting tonight after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Matthew chapter 2. Aha. You thought you knew, huh? I like to just get you, you get in this rut, see? Matthew chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the indescribable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross, which enables us to have Christmas every single day. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What is Christmas? For many people, Christmas is about family, friends, football, and food. I like to put the four F alliteration words in there. For others, Christmas is Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it's hard to believe, but Minions. For still others, Christmas is a Christmas tree, Christmas lights, mistletoe, eggnog, singing carols, and giving gifts. Now that last one, giving gifts, that does have a relationship to Christmas. In fact, it even helps describe what Christmas is. On that very first Christmas, there was the giving of gifts. Magi from the East came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews, and they brought him gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The giving of gifts definitely has a relationship to Christmas. I had you turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Obviously, he's King Herod, and they're coming to worship the King of the Jews. So he's disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the ruler of my people Israel.'" And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Well, that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to go and kill him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They came to worship the king. Here he is. He is in hypostatic union. He's a baby in a manger in his true humanity, but he's the eternal Son of God at the same time. And he is the Son of David. And he is the king that will be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And they came to worship him, that baby in a manger, and they brought gifts. One, these were the first Gentiles who worshiped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the child, Jesus Christ, the Messiah in hypostatic union. These were the first Gentiles who worshiped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. They brought gifts to the king. Now, many of you in Upland Bible Church also come to worship the king. And you bring gifts of positive volition to Bible doctrine and genuine humility. And you respond to the grace and truth of the Word of God, and by so doing you worship the king. Two, The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. 3. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast. Christmas is the reality of what took place on that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. 5. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of Christmas. 6. It is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. It is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Seven, the eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, He took on true humanity. He humbled Himself and took on true humanity so that He could go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, He humbled Himself and took on true humanity so that He could go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. 8. Without His coming, All mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. Nine. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the whole world has a hope. The whole world has a hope. Because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and His salvation work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. 10. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel Gabriel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now turn back to Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Very important that he was given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That's the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now Matthew 1:21 and Matthew 1:25 emphasize the fact that this child is to be given the name Jesus. Jesus is the transliteration of the Greek word Jesus. That's I long E S O U S, Jesus. It's a transliteration, so it doesn't really tell you what the name means. It is the same as the Hebrew word Joshua, which looks like, well, in the Hebrew it looks like this, Yeshua. That's Y-E-S-H, long U-I-N-A, Yeshua. Now, a couple of things. One, Yeshua comes from the Hebrew verb yasher. Y-A-S-H-A-I, yasher. It comes from the verb yasher, which means to rescue, to deliver, to save. To rescue, to deliver, to save. Joshua was a great deliverer who led the nation Israel to great military victory over the Canaanites. But we have a greater deliverer than Joshua. We have Jesus. So too, the greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. He was to be given the name Jesus because he will deliver man from his problem of sin. We have the greater deliverer than Joshua. We have Jesus. So point two, the greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. The greatest deliverer the world will ever know is Jesus. Three, he rescues and delivers the believer in four great victories. He rescues and delivers the believer in four great victories. First of all, he has delivered those who believe in him. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem by his work on the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So first of all, he is named Jesus, the greatest deliverer of all time. He has delivered those who believe in him. He has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem by his work on the cross. Secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. We're living in the church age. The church age is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict because now Satan's attack is on the body of Christ, every single believer in the church age. In the Old Testament, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ, and then at the incarnation it was on Jesus Christ himself, and now in the church age, Jesus Christ was resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. We were entered into union with Jesus Christ. He is the head, we are his body. He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. We're still here on earth. And now Satan's attack is on the body of Christ, every single one of us, intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Now Jesus Christ, in his true humanity, in hypostatic union, he was the first one that had the gift of the spiritual life. And in his true humanity, he lived that spiritual life in his true humanity and never sinned one time. Then he passed on that gift to us, royal family of God. He passed on that gift of the spiritual life so that we don't become casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace provision, the grace gift of the unique spiritual life. A supernatural life demands supernatural power for its execution, and that's provided by the universal indwelling and filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life. So second, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace gift of the unique spiritual life. Third, he will rescue and deliver one generation of church age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. He will rescue and deliver one generation of church age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. He will get up out of his chair at the right hand of the Father, come down into the atmospheric heavens, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are living on the earth will be transformed instantly and have a resurrection body and meet the Lord in the air. That rapture generation is the only one they will not have go through physical death. They will go from living in physical life into a resurrection body at the rapture. So third, he will rescue and deliver one generation of church age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. Fourth, he will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever and eternity. That is, he will deliver all believers from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. So fourth, he will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever in eternity. That is, he will deliver all believers from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, and it was prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It was prophesied by Micah in Micah 5, verse 2. Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from eternity past, from the days of eternity. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Isaiah 7:14. Turn over to Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And from there, Isaiah chapter 7, just turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. And this is one of the greatest prophetic passages describing the greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. We could call Jesus Christ the miracle Messiah. Isaiah 9 verse 6, because a child has been born for us and a son has been given for us. Now we have here a causal conjunction key, correctly translated because, and then the noun yeleth plus the pu'el perfect of the verb yaleth plus the preposition lameth with the first person plural suffix. Now in Hebrew syntax, normally the verb comes first, but in this verse, the noun comes first. That the noun is the word yeleth or child. So normally the verb comes first, but here the noun yeleth or child comes first, and that places tremendous emphasis on the word child. That is one. God is putting the spotlight on this very special and unique child. God is putting the spotlight on this very special and unique child. Two, the eternal Son of God left heaven and left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity. The eternal Son of God left heaven and left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity. Three, there has never been a child like this child. And there will never be a child like him ever again. There has never been a child like this child. And there will never be a child like him ever again. So we have yeleth, that's the noun, and yaleth. That's Y-A-L-A-D, yaleth. In the Kalstem, yaleth means to bear, to bring forth. It is a reference to childbirth. In the pu'al stem, which is what we have, it means to be born. And it's in the perfect tense. And this is why you go to seminary. This is why you prepare for the ministry. This is a prophetic perfect. The perfect tense is the prophetic perfect, which views a future event as being so certain that it is spoken of as having already occurred. Isaiah speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ as though it had already occurred, and he did so 700 years before it happened. Therefore, literally, this should be translated, because a child has been born. Prophetic perfect, because a child has been born. A couple of things on this. One, the prophetic perfect emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And God the Holy Spirit had Isaiah give this prophetic truth 700 years before it took place. Now we as a nation have only been here 200. That's nothing. We might not be here 210. The way things are going in this country. But Isaiah, through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, presented this 700 years before it was fulfilled. So the prophetic perfect emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Two, the deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague. The deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague, but something to be brought about by a birth in history upon this earth at a definite time, in a definite place, and for a definite purpose. The cross. So the deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague, but something to be brought about by a birth in history upon this earth at a definite time, in a definite place, for a definite purpose. The cross. The pu'al stem is passive. The passive voice is the voice of grace. Point three, the birth of this child, this unique child, is a great gift from God for the whole world. See, as we started out class tonight, of all the things people associate with Christmas, the giving of gifts defines what Christmas is. That is one of the things that absolutely defines what Christmas is. And there's nothing wrong, everything great about giving gifts. Everything great. The birth of this child is a grace gift from God for the whole world. Because a child has been born unto us, that is, for our benefit and for our advantage. So a child is born, but this verse also says that a son is given. Unto us a son is given. And this is the noun bain plus the niphal perfect of the verb nathan plus the preposition lamath with the first person plural suffix. The noun bain is son. That refers to the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God. And then the verb nathan. You know anybody named Nathan? Comes from this verb, nathan. In the kal stem, nathan means to give or to provide. In the niphal stem, which is the passive of the kal stem, and that's what we have, it means to be given. Now, this is very important doctrinally. This speaks of the procession. That's a very important word. Theologically, doctrinally, the word procession. It speaks of the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. The procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. Again, the perfect tense is a prophetic perfect which views this future event as being so certain that it has already taken place. Because a child has been born for us and a son has been given for us. The procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. One. The first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah. 2, it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. He will be a son of David. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord. Here you have the tetragrammaton used for God the Father. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, in hypostatic union. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Now look over at Jeremiah 33 verse 15. Jeremiah 33 verse 15. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do what is just and right in the land. So it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. That's his true humanity. That's the first phrase. A child has been born for us, emphasizing the true humanity of Jesus Christ, the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah, emphasizing the fact that the Messiah will be the son of David. 3, the second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ, the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. So the second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ, the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. 4, it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And so, point 5, this unique child to be born is the eternal Son of God. The child to be born is the eternal Son of God. Therefore, 6, together these phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. Therefore, together these phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. 7, Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the miracle Messiah. The miracle Messiah. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The miracle Messiah. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. And then it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now the first part here, the child has been born for us, a son has been given for us, that's the miracle of the very first Christmas, the first Advent. And then the next phrase, and the government will be on his shoulders, that's looking forward to the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the verb here is the verb hayah. It's in the imperfect tense. And that takes us from the first advent of the Messiah, his incarnation and virgin birth, to the future second advent of the Messiah. So, one, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth. And he will rule the entire world. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule the entire world. So at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth, and he will rule the entire world. Two, not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, the whole world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests upon his shoulders. Not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests upon his shoulders. Three, this unique child is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. That's the first advent of the miracle Messiah. And the government will be on his shoulders, the second advent of Jesus Christ. And then we have four characteristics of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. Now you've been listening to some of you listen. I pick great music to listen to, and you all come in 1 minute before class. That's all right. I enjoy the music and listen to it. Have you noticed Handel's Messiah? Have you noticed Handel's Messiah? Absolutely, one of the great works of music of all time. And it takes this passage, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, and presents it. So you'll hear it again. You'll hear Handel's Messiah again. In fact, I like it so much, I'll play it, since every day is Christmas, in July. The four characteristics of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, and he will be called Wonder Counselor. Now you might have in your translation Wonderful Counselor. Horrible translation. It doesn't say Wonderful Counselor. It says Wonder Counselor or Miracle Counselor. Probably the best way to translate it is Miracle Counselor. And then Mighty Omnipotent God. That's the best way to translate the second character. Mighty Omnipotent God. Third, Eternal Father. Fourth, Prince of Peace. The thought is that the child, this unique child, is worthy to bear these names, and that they are accurate descriptions and designations of his being, of his character, of his essence. Now in the Bible, the name indicates the character, the essence, or the nature of a person. And therefore, when it is stated that he shall be called, we are to understand that the following names are descriptions. Descriptions of the celebrityship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ is miracle counselor or wonder counselor. Again, in your English translations, you might have wonderful counselor, which is not a correct translation. It is so weak. It is, first of all, wrong, and second, it's weak. He is far, far worse. There are a lot of wonderful things. Some of you have eat wonderful food. You wear some wonderful clothes. Not tonight, but you have them somewhere. But you, I've always said you can come in a barrel. Nobody's done that yet. I figure some of you would probably come in a barrel. But you can come. I don't care what you wear when you come here. You're coming to worship the King. And you have the privilege of bringing gifts to the King. Positive volition and humility. As you worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Because the Word of God is the mind of the King. You're coming to study the mind of the King and worship the thinking of the King. The Word of God, the mind of Christ. So you bring your gifts of positive volition and humility. The first characteristic is the celebrityship of Jesus Christ is the fact that he is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. In the Hebrew, we have Pele Yoetz. P-E-L-E, Olive, Pele. Pele Yoetz, first of all, Pele. Now, Pele is not an adjective. If it was an adjective, you would translate it wonderful. It's not an adjective, it's a noun. And as a noun, it means wonder, it means unusual, it means extraordinary, it means miracle. And it's translated in the scriptures, miracle, many, many, many times. The Messiah, Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is the greatest miracle the world will ever know. He is the miracle Messiah. Pele comes from the verb pala. P-A-L-A, pala. And pala means to be surpassing, to be extraordinary, to be miraculous. So, one. In Psalm 78, verse 12, our noun, pele, is translated miracles. Turn over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 12, he did pele. The Hebrew word is pele. He did miracles. It's translated, how is it translated? Miracles. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. So this noun that we have here describing in the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, it means miracle, and it's translated miracles in Psalm 78, verse 12. Two, in this verse, it describes the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in Egypt. It describes the miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in Egypt, namely the parting of the Red Sea, the safe crossing of the Red Sea, Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany, leading Israel as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the Lord Jesus Christ providing water out of the rock, all of these miracles that he performed. So it describes the miracles the Lord performed in Egypt, Psalm 78, verse 12. All these mighty miracles are called Pele, wonders, miracles. Three, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is a miracle, a wonder. In his who and what he is, in his hypostatic union, he is a miracle and a wonder. He is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, the unique person of the universe. He is, in his hypostatic union, a miracle and a wonder. In Isaiah 9:6, teaches the hypostatic union of the Messiah. A child is born, his true humanity, a son is given, the deity of Jesus Christ. Four, the Messiah surpasses human thought and power. He is the God-man, the unique person of the universe. He is a miracle. He is a wonder. He is a Pele. So the Messiah surpasses human thought and power. He is the God-man, the unique person of the universe. He is a miracle, a wonder. Pele designates the Lord Jesus Christ not merely as someone who is extraordinary, but as one who is in his very person and essence, he is a wonder and a miracle. Five. Not only is the incarnate Word, the Messiah Jesus Christ, a miracle or a wonder, but the written Word, the mind of Christ, is also described in the Scriptures as a miracle or a wonder. Psalm 119, verse 129, your testimonies, the Word of God, Bible, not doctrine, they are Pele, they are wonders. Therefore, my soul observes them. So, point five, not only is the incarnate Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, a wonder and a miracle, but the written Word, the mind of Christ, is a miracle and a wonder. Psalm 119, 129. Six, therefore, there is a close relationship between the written Word and the living Word, Jesus Christ. Both are infinite, eternal wonders and miracles. Therefore, there is a close relationship between the written Word and the living Word, Jesus Christ. Both are infinite, eternal wonders and miracles. Seven. Now, if you come from around Houston, they used to call the Astrodome the seventh wonder of the world or something. Well, that's nothing. And they have the seven wonders of the world, and they have different places around the world that they call wonders. The so-called wonders of this world will pass away, but the wonders, the miracles of the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. So the so-called wonders of this world, you know, everybody has a bucket list. I got to go see this before I die. I got to do this before I die. I got to do this. I don't have to do any of that. I just need to come get in my office back here and study and teach before I die. And I do that again and again and again. And I don't have a bucket list that I got to go to Timbuktu. Who'd want to go to Timbuktu? And Tim knows all. He even has a poem about that. He'll talk to him sometime. He'll tell you about it. If he doesn't, I'll tell you about it. In Isaiah 9:6, this messianic title does not stop with the word pele or wonder or miracle, but is completed by the calactive participle of the verb yaats. That's Y-A-I-N-A-T-S, yaats. Yaats means to advise, to counsel. It never means one who asks for advice. It always refers to someone who gives advice. The participle is substantival, and therefore it functions as a noun and is correctly translated counselor. One, Jesus Christ, the unique person of the universe, is the God-man. He is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. Jesus Christ, the unique person of the universe, is the God-man. He is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. There is a unique and miracle wonder counselor. It's Jesus Christ. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ is absolute truth. He is the sum total of wisdom and knowledge, and therefore he is the perfect ruler, the perfect advisor, the perfect counselor. Jesus Christ is aletheia, absolute truth, and he declared that himself. I am the way and the aletheia, the absolute truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ said he is the absolute truth. Three, to sit upon the throne of David as the messianic King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to rule the world in the millennial kingdom, requires wisdom that no mere man possesses. Isaiah 9:7. To sit upon the throne of David, which Jesus Christ will do when he comes back at the second advent, to sit upon the throne of David as the messianic King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to rule the entire world in the millennium, requires wisdom that no mere man possesses. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He is the wonder counselor. He is the miracle counselor. Four, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, and therefore he will perfectly rule all the nations of the world in the millennium. He will perfectly rule all the nations of the world in the millennium because he is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. He is absolute truth. He is the possessor and expounder of the truth, the possessor of all wisdom and knowledge. Five, Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking, and the thinking of Christ is the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking is the perfect solution and answer to every question, problem, adversity, and circumstance that you will ever face in time. Do you get that? I'll repeat it. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking. The Bible is called the mind of Christ. That's the thinking of Christ. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking is the perfect solution and answer to every question, problem, adversity, and circumstance that you will ever face in time. Six, therefore, the only counselor that the believer needs is the miracle counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only counselor that the believer needs is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. 7. The miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels and advises the believer through the mind of Christ, the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels and advises the believer through the mind of Christ, the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2:16. If the Word of God is taught consistently and faithfully by the faithful pastor teacher, and if believers are consistent and faithful in assembling to receive the teaching of Bible doctrine, assembling with the gifts of positive volition and humility, then there would be no need for counseling by the pastor. No need at all. When I first came here, that was 470 years ago. When I first came here, I counseled. I gave great advice too. Went in one ear and out the other. But I learned from the Word of God that you have the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor. And if you if you assemble to worship the King with the gifts of positive volition and humility consistently and faithfully, then the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, will counsel you, advise you, and solve all the questions, any question you will ever have. Eight, the pastor teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers. And then the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels the believer through his thinking, metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer. Make sure you get that. The pastor teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers. And then the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels the believer through his thinking, metabolized doctrine in the believer's heart. And you see now, and when you get to that point, well, you're a self-sustaining believer. You hold your head high, you're a self-sustaining believer. And you won't be calling the pastor. I still have people call me, but you won't be calling the pastor for counseling. I don't do counseling. I did a long, long time ago. No more. I do my job. I study and teach the Word of God. If you come to worship the King with positive volition and humility, you bring those gifts, then you will get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. What is that doctrine in your heart? The thinking of the wonder counselor. The thinking of the miracle counselor, Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ, the wonder counselor and the miracle counselor, counsels you, and you know exactly the solution to your problem, to your question, to anything, because the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor, counsels you from his thinking in your heart, metabolized doctrine in your heart. I love the first characteristic of the celebrity. By the way, who do I go to? Everybody wants to go to a counselor. I'm not going to put a shingle. Who do I go to? Well, I know people that have those shingles out. I wouldn't go to them in a million years. I won't be here a million years, but The Wonder Counselor counsels me. The Miracle Counselor counsels me. And I trust as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will allow the Wonder Counselor, the Miracle Counselor, to counsel you as well. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.